Motion that we recommend as a committee to remove any sort of Confederate, whether it be historically correct or incorrect, any sort of emblem that resembles anything of the Confederate nature on any sort of policing uniform.
Second.
Okay. Thank you, Autumn.
Yeah, I don't really care if it's unique.
That's Autumn Blackledge, local attorney who also sits on the Citizens Police Advisory Committee. Last night they had their meeting, and one of the unscheduled non-agenda items that suddenly became a bit of a flashpoint was the observation by a relatively new member, Gina Castro, who wanted to know, do we still have Confederate insignia on the PPD emblem badge patch? And the answer is yes. Not the old Confederate flag, the battle flag, but the stars and bars that did fly over the city of Pensacola. That change was made several years ago, but yes, that one's still there. And they said, oh no, 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 no. So they voted unanimously, except for Kyle Kapchak, who abstained because he wanted time to study it. They didn't have good information. It wasn't on the agenda. All fair concerns, but they voted nevertheless unanimously to recommend getting rid of it. Joining us now, we have Mayor Grover Robinson. Mr. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
How are you doing? Good. Andrew, glad to be here. Although I'm not sure if you changed my song. I'm not exactly sure I'm happy with the song that you created on that one.
So I understand that was I understand that was a bit of a throwback to a former era. I understand. Although you and Mayor Hayward did have a good
that.
You did have a good moment on at the Bayview Community Center, a joint ribbon cutting this week, so that's good news. Yeah, I think it was Davis was looking for the U2 song, couldn't get it in time, and it was, oh, we know this one, but I understand. So you were at the meeting last night. You obviously saw all this conversation go on, and you have been an advocate of the Florida flag instead of any Confederate flag. What's your intent with regards to this request to replace the PPD insignia?
I think the challenge is this, this is the challenge which I made on the campaign discussion when they talked about it. I said the city has made a mayoral decision, but they have not made an official decision. I believe that what you are seeing that is reflected in different parts of the city are based off what is the official vote of the city for what it is. That is not a mayor's discretion part. The flags that fly in front of City Hall are mayor administratively. Those were made by Ashton Hayward. We have kept the same thing. So as I've communicated last night, it's not really going to be something that's a mayoral's policy, but you know, we can certainly, if they voted to look at it, we will take that and take that to the appropriate parts. We're already asking Susan Wolf to go ahead and at least explain the pattern of what's there and legally what are the remedies and what are the positions. But I think that's what you're going to find.
So, I mean, I know that it would be better to have a clear policy voted on by the city council, but obviously you're the mayor. Do you have an opinion?
Our opinion is we're going with what we've gone with in front of City Hall. I don't think it's that clear, Andrew. I think the mayor can do so much, but to make it on the official insignia, it's going to have to go from a different position. I think it was kind of like the whole thing. If you remember, everybody said, well, the mayor can take the statue down. And then they go back and said, the mayor cannot take the statue down. You know what I mean? These are all the things that happen. So, I mean, we'll have Susan Wolf look at it. We'll get a determination, and then she will explain what happens and what legally has to happen.
Got it. One of the things that is on the agenda conference for next week, and by the way, it's a different tone with your mayor's office and the relationship to city council. Obviously, you're at the meetings and much more deferential to the process, which I, quite frankly, appreciate that. One of the things that you want to do that's sort of staying in a similar vein here is you want to make the plaza on the north side of City Hall, you want to rename that for John Sunday, right?
Correct. We did talk about that. What happened was, if you remember, there was a triangular park. There's the new thing, the new development that was coming where the old school district building used to be. And one of the participants in that was Jim Reeves, who came to us and said, hey, we would like to name that little park in Spring Street. There's a little triangle park. Mm-hmm. We'd like to name that for John Sunday. So we were like, hey, we talked to Councilwoman Broughton, who was then the head of John Sunday Society before she was Councilwoman. We said, let's start this process. We started. we started working with Brian Cooper. Brian Cooper started doing all this stuff. Research came to me. He said, hey, he said, you know, I've been doing all the research. He said, this individual was quite impressive what he's done. He goes, I don't think this little triangle is going to be, is really sufficient of who this person is. He came to me, he said, you know, why don't we do the north part of City Hall? And we've been looking for ways to activate that area, whether it was the benches that we got in fights over or whatever else. I mean, we've been trying to say we need to activate that area. It's kind of a dead space there. We need to figure out how to do placemaking. So Brian came and said, why don't we do that? I said, absolutely. Called Councilwoman Walton. She said, I'm emphatically excited about this. Not only that, I want you to do it during February, which is Black History Month, which I can't get any celebrations on because we're all down with COVID, but this would be something nice to do. So we said, let's do it. So we placed it on there, and we're excited about the opportunity. And again, my whole hope is that by the time we get to March, we're looking at it, we're thinking we're going to be more open and having some permits for outdoor events and other stuff. We're looking at making a decision this week on some things based on some numbers we see, but numbers have been trending downward, I think we're going to be able to do some things. But it is regrettable February is going to be closed, and rightly so. The hospitals clearly communicated to us they expected March to begin to see when we would see impact from the vaccines. So we've been trying to hold off and get to March.
And by the way, I love this idea. This is actually a holdover from the Hayward administration, too, as I kept pressing on, look, if we're going to have new statues, like the Galvez statue, which is fine, great, but I'm in favor of more history, not less. Let's also have some statues and things proclaiming, Black history, and noted Black leaders like John Sunday is an easy one. So I like that we're starting to see this happen. One of the other things that's coming up next week on the agenda conference review is, I guess you guys have proposals for tree ordinance changes. I know if you're working go ahead.
Correct. We have some changes in there. These came from staff evaluating what we were doing and how we do a few things in what we are looking at internally. These are not some of the things that were brought forward earlier in an ordinance that was not, everything that was there. We those were not some of the things that we were dealing with, but these are dealing with how do we deal with the new law? How do we change some policies internally related to us and the new ordinance? And staff looked at this. This is a staff position. We initiated it. We began that process. Councilwoman Dreher and Myers have supported this and jumped on in the position, but this was a staff position sort of to clean up some of the ambiguities in the statute and create probably a better working, how staff can work better through the tree ordinance.
Hey, if it's you and Sherry and Jim Breyer all on the same page, it's got to be. I mean, that's bipartisan, so we'll take that for the win. One of the things that I wanted to ask you about, Mr. Mayor, we're actually going to be doing an interview coming up here in about 20 minutes with Caleb Houston, who was one of the he was one of the guys behind the graffiti bridge protest, but he's now bridged out into doing a lot of community service stuff, and he's doing a kind of a huts for the homeless thing this Saturday. We know that Commissioner Bender and Administrator Gilley, they went to Tallahassee to look at the Tiny Homes project there. Seems like a lot of things are happening here, but I wanted to ask you, your office and Keith Wilkins, you've been working with Caleb on this tiny hut thing. I assume you're a supporter, but you tell me.
We want to be clear about a couple of things. I love Caleb, what he's doing, and we certainly have worked to support him. There are a couple of things that we should communicate with Caleb. We can't necessarily do things in the county.
Sure.
And most of his stuff, he's been around Brent Ballpark. We have supported some trick-or-trunk initiatives and some things that he's done in the community. We have no control over what happens in the county. We are supportive of working with him on a temporary basis with these huts. Our issue is that we don't believe anything is in a permanent nature, and we're working through this. This is one of the things we want to deal with parks in general, and how we utilize them, and that they are open to everyone, so no one can monopolize them, and that's where I think we have some challenges with dealing with where we go long term, but in the short term, dealing with the problem that we're having in the fact that we do not have some of these places open, we are willing to work with him and these huts in trying to figure out what we can do to give people temporary shelter. But our whole goal is right now, we've been very active in working and trying to get the Salvation Army place that went down. That's 62 rooms. We could get back up. There's another church, Ferry Pass Methodist Church, the Bright Bridges, that we'd like to get up and have some places to bring people inside. I mean, our whole goal is leaving people outside is not the answer, especially in a park.
Yeah.
We'd love to have shelter for them and figure out a way to do that. But with COVID, it is just very challenging and provides a problem. But we have a number of providers that are working. I think what you see happening kind of.
No, Mr. Mayor, we seem to be, we're losing you a little bit on the cell connection, so I just had one last real quick question. If we can get, maybe I can get you to a good enough connection to answer this. The last thing on City Council that caught my attention is we're going to have second reading to allow miniature goats. Will there be a pet miniature goat at the Robinson household?
We have four cats, and that's enough. You can't have in one dog, so... we used to have my children, my wife and I, my rule was always you can't have more animals than you do people. So
with
four cats, there's no room for a miniature goat at this point.
All right. Let's just make sure Councilman Moore doesn't step in any of the, you know how the quote went. Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for the time this morning. We'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you later.